How is Ahsoka bad TV? And is the Changeling still going strong? Maybe, for now. All that and more on this week's episode of Taking It Down.
An Alabama Tape Projection.
Hey, welcome to Taking It Down, the TV and streaming podcast from the Alabama Take. We give thoughts that range from complex to simple, from analytical to basic about shows and movies on TV. I'm Blaine Duncan, editor-in-chief of the website, The Alabama Take. I've always enjoyed determining why I like and dislike things, and I have a little bit of a side hustle as an English teacher, so hopefully that lends itself to our busy listeners who want some insight. It's great for listeners that it's not just me breaking down what you want to know. It's Adam Morrow, our erudite touring and studio musician who keeps up with fine literature, Donovan Reinwald, who specializes in media at a New England college and loves film, old books, and more, and Natalie Morrow. She's the first person to go to about fantasy, sci-fi, comics, trashy reality TV, and Beyonce's music. We're here for lovers of television who are just too busy for anything more than the series or movie itself, or maybe for the person who just does not want the typical critic or Hollywood adjacent analysis. Plus, like a lot of Alabama Take productions, we're high quality. We actually think. Let's get into the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome all to the audio version of our podcast. You just missed. You don't have to miss. You can go to YouTube, The Alabama Take on YouTube, and watch the video version where Natalie just explained to me the great British Bake Off in a tent.
Just really hung up on this tent.
Yeah, that's
a goddamn tent, man. If you two will allow it, and I bet you will, we talked about it before we went on air, I'm going to give some passing and spoiler-filled thoughts on Ahsoka on Disney+, the recent Star Wars show. Anyone not caught up and you want to skip to the next time-stamped segment, that'll be about the Changeling. Go there if that's what you're here for. Or listen to both. Ahsoka is way more polarizing than I expected. This is a show that has message boards lit up a little, and it's not for viewers. This show's not for viewers. It's for diehards. It's not for fans. It's for the fanatics. That's sad to me. It's not even made for those of us who've watched every single movie 15 times each. Maybe you've seen every movie in the theater. I've had that luck of doing that. Do you remember when in the 90s, mid to late 90s, where George Lucas redid and released them in the theater?
Yeah, my dad took me to all those.
I went to all those too. Just loved it, despite the
goofiness
of the added scenes.
I mean, this is not the point of this podcast, but man, what is wrong with George Lucas's brain that he put that musical number into Return of the Jedi? What's actually wrong with his brain? And it's all like early CGI too. It's just terrible.
It's the same synapses that are firing for him to create Jar Jar Binks.
That's true. The kids are going to eat it up.
I guess. I mean, he needed something extra. I guess that's all he could cook up.
That's all he had.
Ahsoka's not even made for those of us who've seen all the movies in the theater. It's for book readers, comic collectors, and as you guessed, the cartoon watchers. And that's fun. I think that's great. But I do want some recognition from, I suppose, some of those people that this is 100% fan service.
Here's what I want. I'm going to interrupt you really quick. Because I know some people, and by people I mean I know a person who is very into Ahsoka. And every day will ask me, hey, are you going to watch it? Are you going to watch it? I'm like, can the people that are obsessed and that love it leave the rest of us alone and stop judging us?
Do you want to call person by name?
I mean, he doesn't listen to this podcast, so I could, but I'm not going to. Oh.
It's great fan service. Is it a good show? How shows are usually judged or critiqued? Not really. It's not.
I think I had that incredible sinking feeling from the first episode where it's like, wait, I need to know and care about a lot more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, like, this may be something I can't, like, 100% back up.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Star Wars itself is kind of just fan service these days. Like, look, it's your pal, Mando. He's got a little guy. But,
well, Luke appearing in The Mandalorian was all fan service.
Yeah. And I do think that when you're like, oh, it's great fan service, that's kind of like the death knell for something is,
yeah,
like actually being good.
Yeah.
Because it's just catering at that point.
I have a theory that once you start expanding something that works well as a mythology, you strip it of its magic. You run the chance of demystifying your own mythos.
It's the same thing as the, like, you know, the cardinal rule of horror making, right? Don't show the monster. Let the imagination work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let people fill in the gaps. Let them be tantalized.
Yeah. Let me give you an example of some of the stuff I'm talking about. So an episode ends with Ahsoka losing a battle with, he may or may not be a Sith guy. He's definitely on the dark side of the Force, but is he Sith? Who knows? He never claims that. She loses a battle with him, and she goes off a cliff into water. Pretty high cliff. Would kill people normally. The entire next episode, the whole 45-minute runtime, was her reliving certain moments of the cartoon with Hayden Christensen's Anakin. And the point was that he was supposed to be teaching her a final lesson in her Jedi training. And listeners, I do not know what that lesson was. It was 45 minutes of pure fan fiction, just allowing, forgive me, allowing fanboys to jerk off about it, seeing a cartoon in live action form. Marvel is running this risk sometimes. You know?
Hell, Disney's doing the same thing.
Yeah. I do think that Marvel takes something from the comics and tried to at least add more to it. And sometimes when they add more to it, that's where they get bumpy. So their track record is a little different than what Star Wars is doing. And listen, that shit can be super cool. I was 5 once. I get it. But as an adult, or simply someone who wants to see cool stuff and have a good story happening at once, that's doing nothing for 45 minutes.
That was so. Pretty good insult to everybody that who enjoys Ahsoka. Because none of those people are 5.
You weren't supposed to call them out.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Yeah, but you go to the message
y'all
board
dumb.
And everyone
this
loves
this
it.
This show sucks.
I get it. I get why people love it, but I don't like it. And that's me. I feel like when they do this, when shows do this, they allow people to take a stand merely on its existence rather than its quality. I think that's a little sad because you lose sight of what good art, dare I call Star Wars art, you lose sight of what good entertainment can be. There's no objectivity.
That's an interesting thought. I think I'm going to think about that because there's some that could possibly go outside of even just like this show, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's a good thought. Yeah.
Thank you. It's go to the message boards. Everyone either loves it or hate it. And a lot of love because Hayden Christensen wore a cartoon thing. And, you know, it's also a lot of you got to go do
I'm glad
homework.
He's getting work.
Yeah. He's actually okay. I saw some comments that he was horrible, but he wasn't. He was fine. Yeah, I'm just not going to do homework to get a show. And I think that's where Natalie is with this, some of this.
All of it. I don't have time. Yeah. I don't have time to catch up. And that's what I tell this person who keeps asking me. It's like, I'm not even that busy, and I'm too busy for this.
That's pretty good. Because I always feel super busy. This show's the equivalent of Mad Men having a spinoff about Pete Campbell's mother's servant who watched the goings-on between her and Bob.
God, I'd watch that.
I would watch the shit out of it. Are you kidding me?
I'd watch that in an instant. See, this is like, we're sitting here like, well, fan service. But then, like, you talk about the thing that's, like, your fan service. Yeah. And it's like, that's incredible. Why would anyone have a problem with that?
Yeah. Another thing this show's done, it's made me question Rosario Dawson's acting skills. Uh-oh. And here I was living under the assumption she was just fine. She was pretty good.
I thought she was fine.
She's not here. She must be getting bad direction.
I was going to say, she seemed a little leaden in what I saw, but it didn't just seem like...
That's chronic for all Star Wars anything, except for Pedro Pascal, which he's just an anomaly, who wasn't on screen for most of his acting. So, what are you going to do?
He's a beautiful man.
And they put him in a helmet.
How dare they?
Just to make it more impactful when you see his eyes.
Yeah. Tell me if this sounds... on par with Star Wars or a little goofy for Star Wars. Most recent episode, not making this up, Ahsoka had to traverse galaxies by making her ship go into a whale's mouth and it shutting, and the space whale, literally the name of them, space whale, flew hyperspace style to another galaxy for her.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. I didn't know. Because it bordered on ridiculous. I just couldn't tell.
I just think everything was... this is a like a real nerd pet peeve.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Star Wars universe feels like you can literally go from one end of the galaxy to the other in an afternoon. I'm like, how big is this place?
Well, they're making a big...
stakes to anything?
They made a big deal out of going to a brand new galaxy. Okay. Like, that took effort. That took episodes to get to. In fact, the Ezra guy you keep hearing so much about, like everyone has to say his name twice per episode, he finally showed up in the most recent episode to zero fanfare. He's just standing there. He just stands by a tent.
And they find Thrawn yet?
A tent again.
They did. He showed up.
Okay.
He had a lot more fanfare. I saw some complaints about his entrance, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked. So Sabine finds Ezra, and she's just like, turns around, and he's standing by a tent, and he's just like, hello. I mean, I would have had him chopping off heads. I'd have been like, look, we preached about this guy. You got to see him. Something weird's got to happen with this. Just, he's there. Anyway, I think that this one's really hindering Star Wars, its reputation a little. But I don't know. It's not made for me. I need to accept that fact.
That's probably the most germane. That, like, from episode, it's like if you watched all of Clone Wars and you watched all of whatever and you watched the Star Wars Rebels show and you really care, like, boy, oh boy, are we rewarding you. But if you haven't, you've either got a ton of homework to do or mm-hmm. you might want to watch something else.
I'm just waiting for my Deadwood spinoff, people. When do I get fan service? With that, we'll go to break. We're going to come to you on the other side, talk about the most recent few episodes of The Changeling. Very intricately described as three buttholes talking about Star Wars. The best thing about the podcast We Are Star Wars is that Corey, and Jim, that's right, two Coreys, are self-aware. But not only that, they know their shit. We Are a Star Wars gives you plenty to think about as they break down the newest and the oldest in Star Wars canon, which is growing by the minute. Produced by the Alabama Take, We Are a Star Wars appears sporadically as the three buttholes gather themselves when they can. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Find any episode on thealabamatake.com as well. That's We Are a Star Wars. We'll continue some discussion about The Changeling from Apple TV+. Lakeith Stanfield is the star, based off the novel the same name from Victor Laval. A very specific kind of genre, magic realism meets maybe a little horror, a little...
like dark fantasy.
Dark fantasy.
It reminds me of a lot of the stuff Neil Gaiman likes to do.
Mm.
Kind of that same vein.
Yeah, okay. If you don't want spoilers for what's on this show in the last two or three episodes... we just watched episode 5 this weekend, and we might get all the way through that one. So just be careful if that's what you want to wait and hear. Where we left off last weekend was episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
The opening of the third episode, to me, was good horror. He's chained to the chair. You have no idea what Emma's doing.
I think, at least for me, you pretty quickly put together what's about to happen. And I think it was so much good horror for me. It was like, do not show me anything
mm-hmm.
of what happened beyond that door.
Mm-hmm.
Do not show me that. Like, I'd rather watch poor Lakeith get beat up than... it was unsettling.
Apollo's chained to the chair. There is a probably blatant thing holding him to the chair on his neck that is reminiscent of how slaves were held. It's probably no more than a bicycle lock, but it's
a bike lock. Yeah.
It's a bike lock that Breaking Bad also used to great imagery. But it did immediately make me think of that, which is scary too. It's well played. Stanfield looked scared. You have no idea how crazy Emma's gone at that. It's like, don't show the monster kind of thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
it's not relying on CGI. And to me, that's where the good horror happens. Kudos to the makeup department there, because he looked rough.
Yeah. I don't know why. This is less me saying like something coherent than just being like, here's a scene that really freaked me out. But you knew she was going to do it. But as soon as she picks up the kettle with her bare hand.
Yes.
It's like that just, she had to act very unhappy. And she did a very good job with that.
Yeah. So are you guys all caught up? Four and five?
I'm on four. I haven't watched five yet.
I'm caught up.
Four gets a little muddy. Don't you think, Natalie, that's where the plot lines were just a little too many?
I've got to remember what four was.
That's the first time they hit the island.
They hit the island. He hits the island of possible witches.
Right.
And William has taken him there.
It's funny you say that, Blaine, because I'm still compelled, and I'm going to keep watching. Before was one where I was like, it's a little creaky right here. Like, mm-hmm. I'm enjoying watching it, mm-hmm. but, like, there's a little too much going on, and, like, the episode itself, there's a little, like, they're really into the flashbacks, but when you've seen the same flashback mm-hmm. every single episode, you mm-hmm. know, four times in a row, it's like, I get it, his dad came to the door once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is not a spoiler at all, but I think the way five ended, I felt that way, too. It was like, did we need to do this? It's feeling the web is a little too complicated right now. Let's simplify.
Exactly. That's it. Four does that. I thought five made up for it a little.
I thought it did too until the very end.
Okay, you're going to have to remind me of the very end.
Yeah, I don't care.
When they finds out that the guy, William?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. That's
it's
key.
Funny that if it's going to be a revelation about William, because everything with William has been like, you think he's this,
yeah.
He's actually this.
But
on the other hand, he's this.
Exactly. Like, he's just... Well, the whole time you're sitting there thinking he looks like a pedophile and there's just no way this guy's cool. The whole time. By the way, this was the actor. I was so curious if you guys would have any kind of reaction. You know who he is, right?
No, who is he? Because you were saying he's someone we should have recognized.
He's the lead singer of Future Islands.
Is that true?
100% true. Did you know that? Or?
No, I mean, I've literally seen that great, what is it, Letterman clip 1,000 times.
I've seen it 1,000 times, yes.
Yeah, right? It's still great. And
it's so awesome.
I would never make that connection.
Yeah.
That is wild. Who knew he was into acting?
Yes.
He's actually pretty good.
And not bad. Yeah, he is really good. A couple of things are working for me really well with this show still, despite the clunky fourth episode. To me, it's still fun. To me, the camera works so good. I mm-hmm. love how sometimes it'll even peer around a corner, especially when it's a child's point of view or they're the main character. If there's a child as a main character in the scene, you get a little peeking and low camera angle. I don't think that it's just horror or thrills. There's some true emotion to be found here. The ladies on the island in episode 5 honestly felt way more like, less like a bunch of ladies who may have killed their kids because they thought the baby was a changeling, and more like a battered women's shelter. And I was invested in that. I was, show me more, tell me more. Have they really killed babies? Is that what's happening here? I just think it's doing really good blending real world things with fairy tale magical realism kind of stuff.
It kind of, watching this, I was reminded of something Adam said last time. This was specifically with Emma, right, where she's been like up way too long and everything is feels like, you know, like when you had no sleep like that, as the narrator tells us, right? Like things can start to be very weird. And I feel like that's kind of continued through the series, where another good thing that it's doing is, like, you know, the heightened emotional states of, like, grief.
Yes.
That Apollo is in, right? Like, can make things seem unreal. Like, the surrealness, right, of being told by your parole officer to go sit in a room with a group of other strangers and tell about the worst thing that ever happened to you. That mm-hmm. seems like it really, really, really pretty easily lends itself to, like, eerie otherworldliness, right? Like they play together really well.
Yeah. Does it lose some of its punch when they start using the subtext as the actual dialogue, and they're calling, they're saying, you're in a fairy tale. Does that lose a little? I was like, well, I wish they would have not.
I think it's worse that. When, because I if they want to go, you're in a fairy tale now, and tell me that, I'm in. Like, that's interesting to me. But when a lot of it is also like, we've got this weird quasi Facebook thing happening, that pulls me out of it immediately. And I hate it.
I'm a fan, if you will.
Why is that? Why does it pull you out?
It just feels like you're modernizing a fairy tale in a way too specific way. I don't know. It's just every time it comes up, and now it seems like it's going to keep coming up, it just takes me out of it.
Emma is probably chatting with the lady cow, who's sort of the head of the island in the Facebook thing. Group, maybe. Oh, by the way, Cal, being played by Malcolm in the Middle mom, Jane Kaczmarek.
Haven't seen her for a while. Huh?
Wouldn't it be great if Bryan Cranston was her husband in a flashback? He makes a cameo. This could be a backdoor reboot for Malcolm in the Middle, for all we know. Life is unfair. Did you guys watch that show?
I was gonna say you're like on fire with like reboot ideas.
No, I'll tell you,
Hollywood. Listen, who needs a writer? They're on strike. Listen to this man. He's not unionized. He'll give you this stuff for pennies.
I will tell you one thing. Episode 5, I thought did well, and one thing that has me worried. And you guys comment if you want. Episode 5 has this nice central idea of, if women are together helping one another, then they're just witches to society, literal or figurative. And I thought that was very fascinating. And one thing that's got me a little worried, apparently this show, its fifth episode, is not even at the halfway point of the book, which means we're going to have to wait to another season to find out the whole story.
That actually worries me, too. Because that was kind of what I was feeling, where it's like it's getting a little creaky, where it's just like you're stretching it out. More uh-huh. than it might need to be stretched.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I think the actors can handle it. I think I'm not like sitting there hating it, but also I think that's a temptation when you're adapting a book into a TV series, right? Is to not stretch it out too much.
Am I wrong that, or am I right, that the author of the book is also the narrator?
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah, we mentioned that, I think, last
week. That's what I thought.
But, yeah.
Maybe get somebody else to narrate it? Because it's not working for me.
Interesting. I thought it was fine. I actually kind of thought it was nice. You know, obviously he likes it and he's involved.
I mean, that's great. Yeah. But there's just something about I don't know if it's because a lot of times they'll narrate something and then it's Lakeith Stanfield on screen being incredible. It's just, it always just falls flat to me.
A couple questions. William was creepy from the start for me. Is he a changeling?
He's a something.
Emma's photographs did something to him. You know, in episode 5, you finally see the photograph. A complaint from Vulture Rider was that you didn't need to see all that happen. You get the idea. William speaks Norwegian to Cal. She's the leader of the island, so to speak. And the show opened with a ship from Norway. That's got to connect. Not sure how. If season 1 at least answers some of these questions and, you know, only plans another season to answer the rest, I think that's acceptable. Otherwise, I get a little worried about what they're going to try to do.
I don't want to watch Lost again.
Mm-mm. No, sir. Well, we will wind it down there. There's more to see and hear from us. We are on TikTok. We have our own little, channel? Account on TikTok? Taking It Down Pod. Same thing you'll find with Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, as long as we're there. That won't be long, maybe. Instagram, Threads, we're there, Taking It Down Pod. But of course, Alabama Take is pretty much everywhere, which, you know, that'll help you find anything you want Alabama Take related, including the various podcasts and writing. Thanks to Donovan and Natalie. Maybe we can hear from Adam next week in his new jeans.
His pants.
Pantalones. We'll end there. Talk to everyone later.